Luke chapter 2. The message today is the sacrifices of God. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read briefly five different scriptures. I think they're all essential. And then perhaps you will have a better understanding about the sacrifices of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were fulfilled for circumcising him, his name was called Jesus. 22. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him, and behold, there came to him a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And straightway the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, chapter 9, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with the publicans and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye, and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy, and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Now, Mark 12, verse 28, and one of the scribes came and heard them questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, What commandment is the first of all? And Jesus answered, and he tells him about loving God with all your being, and the second, your neighbor, as yourself. There is none other greater commandment than these. Verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, Of a truth, Master, thou hast well said that he is one, and there is none other but he. And the loving with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And Matthew 5 now, Matthew 5. Verse 3. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all questions that arise in the hearts of men that could make him interested in the things of God, the Spirit of God. We rejoice even more that there are answers to those questions that arise in the hearts of men. We've read so many portions from the Word, and by thy Spirit's help, we shall understand them, be able to put them all together, and understand about the sacrifices of God. And that is our desire, that we would know these things and understand them. So bless us to that end. By thy Spirit work upon the hearts of those who are here, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And as you promised, if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. So do that for us as well. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you were not able to put any connection to those scriptures that I read, but I had to read all of them to give you an understanding about the sacrifices of God. And if I emphasize some of them, you would come to this conclusion. The rituals, the sacrifices of God, are of little or of no importance. If I emphasize the other portions that I read to you, you would say rituals and sacrifices are of the greatest importance. They're paramount. And some people do just that. They emphasize either one part or the other. But what the scripture does is to bring both of them to your attention and make you understand about the scriptural importance of the sacrifices of God. So what I'm going to do is to try to bring out the importance of one and the other. And the key is given to us by David in Psalm 51. Listen to what he says. He says, "Thou delightest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God." That's the message this morning. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. You say, well, those sacrifices are not anything like the sacrifices of burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. But God's word calls them the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. But listen, if you emphasize that, you would do away with all the ritual and all the sacrifice. Why? Because it said, you delight not in sacrifice, else would I give it. You have no pleasure in burnt offerings or whole burnt offerings. Well then, let's do away with them. We have it in God's word that he doesn't delight in it. He has no pleasure in it. But listen, what else David says? He says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, then will we offer sacrifices upon your altar. Burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings, then will they offer bullocks upon your altar. Now, understand that. If you have a man offering burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings, every kind of sacrifice, but he doesn't do it with a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God has no pleasure in it. But after that is corrected, and you get a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, it says, then thou wilt delight in it. You say, I see. Then, if your heart is not in it, God doesn't want it. But once your heart is in it, God does bless it. So whenever you read about God not delighting in sacrifices, it is because man's heart is wrong, he's offering the sacrifices. So, sacrifices without the heart are undesirable.
the ground.
But the heart, without the sacrifices, are undesirable to God.
You say, what?
Yes, the ways. What happens is this. Son, see that scripture. You delight not in sacrifices, in burnt offerings. You have no pleasure. And they say, do you see? All of these rituals, all of these outward things, God has no delight in them. And they do away with them. Every outward requirement that God has spoken in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they read to us, God has no pleasure in them. Do away with them. But then, it says, after your spirit and heart are broken, God takes delight in the sacrifices, in the burnt offerings, the whole burnt offerings. You see, then if you offer the burnt offerings without the heart, God doesn't want them. And if you offer the heart without the burnt offerings, God doesn't want them. Then he wants both of them together. And that's what Christians never understand. It's like this. Why do you not come to the remembrance meeting? Because the Bible says we are not to eat and drink unworthily. And therefore, it tells you not to come if you're going to eat and drink unworthily. But it doesn't say that. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him drink, and so let him eat. You see? It doesn't tell you that you are not to eat. It tells you you're not to eat unworthily. But then you are to judge the sin in your life. And having examined yourself, then you are to eat and drink worthily. This is what God would have us understand. And Christians never comprehend. They will do the one, they will do the other, but they seldom do both together. And the thought of the Jews was this. They were doing the one, the outward, the rituals, without their heart being in it. And some of you are the seed who grasp that truth, who say, the outward things are of no significance. It says, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. God looks on the outward appearance as well. But he looks at the heart, and he sees whether that is in harmony with that which is outside. He looks inside and outside. And so, if there are some who have all the outward things, the rituals, the sacrifices, but their heart is wrong, God doesn't know. And if there are some who say, well, my heart is right, but I don't offer the outward things, the rituals, God doesn't want it either. You say, how can that be? Because if your heart is right, you will offer the rituals as well. If you ask me, how is a man saved? He's saved by grace through faith. And a man having been saved by grace through faith will immediately submit himself to water baptism because the Lord told him to. And if he says, God isn't interested in outward things, in rituals, in sacraments, God isn't interested in those things, I say, how foolish of God then to institute them. This afternoon, we're going to go into the book of Leviticus in his will and tell you about all the sacrifices that God instituted. And you say, God is not interested in those things. You're right. If your heart is wrong, he's not interested in them. But if your heart is right, he is ever so much interested in them. To such a degree that if you do not do them, he will destroy you. You say, what do you mean? Just this. Is circumcision of any importance? You say, well, at one time it was. If I ask you, who was the friend of God? You say, Moses. Who was the meekest man on the earth? Moses. You know that God sought to kill Moses? He did, yes. Why? Because he didn't circumcise his children. You see, but the outward rituals aren't important. Oh, yes, they are. They're the greatest importance. But God doesn't want a bare outward obedience without something corresponding to it in the heart. And you who are deceiving yourselves, you say, well, my heart is right, and therefore God isn't interested in the ritual. The moment your heart is right, you will carry out the ritual. It is like that Ethiopian eunuch. Philip is explaining to him the way of salvation from Isaiah 53. And as soon as he learns that Christ is the Savior of sinners, he says to Philip, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? That is when the heart is right. When the heart is right, the heart doesn't say, God isn't interested in these outer things. When the heart is right, he says, I'm interested now in those outward things. And if you trusted Christ as Savior and you said, my heart is right, it isn't right until you submit to water baptism. And if you say, my heart is right, I believe on the Lord Jesus, then remember the Lord Jesus. Because he who said, believe in me and you'll not perish but have everlasting life, also said, this do in remembrance of me. And so you're going to say, oh, well, I'll take the first commandment. I'll believe in you, but I'm not going to remember him because those outward things, the command is for the one as much as the other. And no, you are not to remember the Lord if your heart is wrong. But your heart is not to remain wrong. You are to judge yourself, to put away sin, and then your heart being right, you are to come and remember the Lord. And so whenever you read about you delight not in sacrifices, in burnt offerings. You have no pleasure in those things. Of course he doesn't, as long as your heart is wrong. But the moment your heart is right, David says, then will you delight in sacrifices. The sacrifice of righteousness. The other sacrifices are not acceptable. They are not sacrifices of righteousness. But once your spirit and your heart are broken in conflict, then you will offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and God will take the greatest pleasure in them. You're sitting at a remembrance meeting with unjudged sin? No, the Lord doesn't take a delight in it. But you're sitting at a remembrance meeting with your heart made right by confession of sin and turning from the sin? God delights in it. And that is what these scriptures are that I read to you this morning. Let me ask you this. In the Old Testament, the command was the child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. What did they do to the Lord Jesus on the eighth day? You say, they circumcised him. I see. Then the ritual was carried out in his life. In the Old Testament, it says, after 40 days, the child is to be presented to the Lord and prescribed sacrifices offered. What did they do with the Lord Jesus on the 40th day? You say they presented him to the Lord and they offered sacrifices. Yes. And when John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he called the sinners to repentance, what did the Lord Jesus do? You say, he came and submitted to water baptism. Not because of any sin in him, but he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. All the requirements of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Christ because it became him to fulfill all righteousness. This is what it says in Galatians 4. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And the Lord Jesus never broke the law of God. Never one commandment, never one ritual did he fail to carry out. His parents carried it out for him when he was 8 days old, when he was 40 days old, and when he was 12 days old, they took him to the Passover in Jerusalem. They never failed to carry out all the rituals and all the requirements and to offer all the sacrifices for Christ when he was a child. And when he became a man, to become all righteousness, he submitted himself to John the Baptist. Now, every typical ritual in the Old Testament, like the circumcision, the removal of the flesh, there was no sin in Christ's flesh, but he submitted to it, and also the cleansing from sin, why he was the one He was going to give himself. He was a pure sinless sacrifice. He was going to do it. But understand, he was born under the law, and he followed every ritual. And that should be enough to let you grasp the significance, the great importance of the rituals in the Old Testament and the rituals in the New Testament. So never tell me the rituals, the outward things, are of unimportance to God. They're the greatest importance to God. Let me give you another example. I could read from 1 Corinthians 1 and show you that the fall, baptism, wasn't very important at all. I could read you from Acts 16 and show you that baptism is the greatest importance to Paul. Because in 1 Corinthians 1 he says, baptism, I can't even remember whom I baptized. Just understand. In 1 Corinthians 1 it seems as if baptism isn't very important. But so important is baptism that when the Philippian jailer is converted at midnight and Paul's back has been lashed with a whip, as soon as that Philippian jailer has trusted Christ as Savior, he says, you need to be baptized. And so baptism is of no importance to him. If you are trusting in the outward ritual to make you acceptable in God's sight, no. But if you in your heart believe that Christ is Savior, you're confessing your sins are gone actually, then your sins are to be pictured as being washed away by baptism. You see? And so, unimportance and importance. And that is why I read to you from all the scriptures. Now, the first scriptures that I read to you show you the importance of ritual, sacrifices. Why? Because in Christ's life, when he was 8 days old, when he was 40 days old, when he was 12 years old, when he was 30 years old, every sacrifice, every righteous requirement was carried out by our Savior. Every one. You say, how important they are. But then he gives the other side, the spiritual side, the broken spirit, the broken and contrite heart. When the Jews were looking at him eating with a tax collector, he had called Levi, Matthew, to be one of the apostles, and Levi had made him a great supper in his house. Then his enemies said, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And the Lord Jesus then spoke these words. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, now you go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. But Jesus said, God doesn't desire mercy. He doesn't desire sacrifice. He desires mercy. He doesn't desire sacrifice. Do you not understand that that is why I read you Matthew chapter 8? Why? Because as soon as the Lord Jesus healed the leper, he said, go offer the sacrifices. You say, well, this is a contradiction. There is no contradiction. God desires mercy. Where does mercy originate? You say, right, inwardly, in the heart. The broken spirit, the broken and contrite heart, that is the origin of mercy and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. And when the Lord Jesus said, God desireth mercy and not sacrifice, he's not saying that God has done away with the sacrifice, but he does not want the sacrifice unless it is coupled with mercy, compassion, a broken spirit. You say, I see. He doesn't want your heart without the sacrifice. He doesn't want the sacrifice without your heart. You say, then, I must be a complete Christian. Well, of course, you must. And if you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, that's inward, good. Now, go and outwardly practice the ritual. I've been cleansed as a leper from sin, the Lord Jesus says, then go show yourself to the priests and offer the prescribed rituals the gifts, the sacrifices, and those you will find in Leviticus 14, and they're so elaborate. And the Lord said, you go and see to it that those rituals are carried out. And so if anybody says, God isn't interested in the outward, he's greatly interested in the outward. He sought to slay Moses because he didn't carry out the outward. And one brother said this, and it's very striking. He said, do you need to be baptized to get to heaven? Is not the thief that was crucified on the cross in heaven, who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? You say, yes, but he's there without baptism. But let me ask you this. If the Lord Jesus had given him 5 minutes after he'd believed on him and said to him, I want you to be baptized, what do you think he would have done? You say he would have been baptized. And he saved you, and how long have you had? He saved you, and he says, this do in remembrance of me? You say, yes, I see. So, if you trust Christ as Savior, and do not submit to Christian baptism, if it's a genuine faith in Christ, you will be in heaven. But for all eternity, you will have to tell everyone in heaven, I never was baptized. I believed in the Lord Jesus, but he told me to be baptized also, but I did not obey him on earth. It's nothing that you'll ever correct in heaven. And in heaven, if you do not faithfully remember him at the Lord's Supper, he said, this do in remembrance of me, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. If you do not do it, when you get to heaven, someone will ask you, you trusted Christ as Savior, you're here. Tell me, how often did you go to the Lord's Supper? How much did you enjoy that Lord's Supper? The Savior said, but for longer have I desired to eat this Passover with you. And then, how much desire did you have? And with shame, you will say, oh, I never went much to the Lord's Supper when I was on earth. And I never was baptized when I was on earth. The shame of it, and you'll never be able to see in heaven. It thrilled my heart. The psalmist can say, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And I can say that when the Spirit of God is in our midst with Christ, the remembrance meeting is one of the most precious of meetings. It's not a weariness. Oh, what a burden it is to come. I get nothing out of it. You are to come and give something to the Lord at that meeting. And so here's the outward. The outward is just important as the inward. Why? Because if it was not the outward, I have every reason to doubt the reality of the inward. Do you understand? You say, the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross. He bore my sins in his body on the tree. And you, well, did that one tell that to you? Did he say to be baptized? Yes. Have you done it? No, but he died. But I'm not taking you seriously. The Savior shed his precious blood, and he requests you, this do in remembrance of me. Oh, he shed his precious blood. Have you remembered him? Oh, no, but when he shed it, won't you see the contradiction? That's when it says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He doesn't want the sacrifice without the mercy. But if there is the mercy, he also wants the sacrifice. And the Savior says, go learn what this means. And some of you have never learned it. I've seen some who go through their whole lives and they've never seen the harmony between the mercy and the sacrifice, the broken and contrite spirit and the offering of the sacrifices. They're either strong on the Lord's Supper and strong on baptism, but not much in the heart. Or they're so spiritual in their heart, they say, the outward means nothing. They both mean much. One as much as the other. Now this, notice. The Savior said, go learn what this means. If you haven't learned it by now, maybe in another 30 years I'll come back and I'll ask you the question again. Have you learned it? I didn't read you the second time, but you'll find in Matthew 9, the Savior says, we'll learn what this means. And then in chapter 12, he says, if you had known, if you had learned what this meant, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. He had given them time, and they still had not learned. And now I told you this. You may have been without excuse before, but now you're not with excuse. You're without excuse. The Savior said, go learn. Once he tells you, you have no excuse. If your teacher does not give you an assignment and you come to school and the question is asked, you can say, you didn't assign us that. But if the teacher has given you the assignment and you come to school and he requires it of you, what are you going to tell him then? And so the Lord in 9 says, go learn what this means. He gives them time to learn what it means, and then he asks again. And he finds out that they do not know what it means. And he says, if you had known what it meant, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And so that means that my behavior in life determines the way that I'm going to react toward men like Levi and Matthew who have been saved. And I do not like the past life that they live. My acceptance of them is going to determine whether I've learned what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The same way that a woman who in the city was a sinner came and was worshiping the Lord Jesus in Luke 7. And Simon the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You see, Simon had not understood about mercy and sacrifice. He knew all about the sacrifice, about staying away from people that are unclean, and we should. A man should purge himself from these. But if a man has associated with people who are purged, when they were unpurged, he should not associate with them. But having been purged, he should associate with them. And so some never learned it. All right. He said, go learn what this means. That's why I read you Mark 12. Here is a Jew who had learned what that meant. This Jew had been listening to Jesus, and every answer that the Savior gave was such a good answer, he said, I've been wanting to know about what's the first and great commandment. I'm going to ask him that. And so he went and asked the Savior. And the Lord Jesus said, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your being. And he said, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, loving God, oh, that's a spiritual thing. That's the heart. The Lord Jesus said, love your neighbor as well. The inward, the spirit, yes, but the outward, the neighbor, the practical as well, and the Savior was not asked about the sect, but he put them both together. And when the Savior gave that answer, listen to the comment on it. This Jew who had been questioning the Savior said, Master, he said, you've well said that he's one, and to love him with all your being, it's so important, and to love your neighbor as yourself, it is of greater importance than burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. He understood it. He understood what I read to you and quoted to you from the New Testament and the Old Testament. He understood it. And it says, when the Lord saw that he had answered discreetly, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. Not far. You understand it. First of all, there is ignorance, and therefore you are not getting into the kingdom of God. Then there is the understanding of it. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Then you accept, you embrace what you have understood, and then you are in the kingdom of God. So all of you who think that going to church that being baptized and partaking of the Lord's Supper, that that will get you to heaven? You're in ignorance. It will never get you to heaven. But then the next step is, why? By being baptized and by reading the Bible and praying and going to church, that will never get me to heaven. Then you're not far from heaven. And then you say, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. That's what gets me to heaven. And then, thank God, when you trust in that precious blood, that is when you get into heaven. Now, are you far from heaven? Are you not far from heaven? Or have you understood and you're in heaven? And if you have understood, have you understood about mercy and sacrifice? Mercy and sacrifice. Not mercy without sacrifice, not sacrifice without mercy, but mercy and sacrifice. That is why I read to you from Matthew chapter 5. I've been told my whole life long, the most important service that man can render is worship to God. Is that true? You say yes. God doesn't want your worship if your heart isn't right with your fellow man. So what is most important? You say, by being reconciled and in harmony with my neighbor, with my fellow man. No. Again, it's not that God doesn't want the sacrifice. He doesn't want it unless your heart is right. And being reconciled to your fellow man isn't of the greatest importance. But it is of such importance that until you are in harmony with your fellow man, God doesn't want your worship. Understand, that is how Matthew 5 is applied. The Savior says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember, why, my brother has something against me. I've sinned and I haven't straightened it out with my brother. The Lord says, don't continue worshiping me. You leave your gift at the altar. First, go and be reconciled to thy brother. You say, then, reconciliation is everything. No. He said, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. So some of you say, I'm reconciled to my brother. Well, what about the gift? Oh, yes. I'm going to offer the gift. What about the reconciliation to your brother? You say, so what God wants is this. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift. And that is rare indeed. When I'm right with my fellow man, and when I'm right with my God, and I have something to give to God. And so some of us come to give something to God. That's what this man did. He's brought a gift to God. But he hasn't thought through his life. He hasn't examined his heart to see if there's any sin there that needs confession. And suddenly, the Spirit of God brings it to his attention. I've sinned against my brother, and I haven't straightened this thing out. What am I to do? The Lord says, this is what you're to do. I'm willing to wait for your worship. Go and get things straightened out with your brother. But then, having done that, do not forget me. You're to worship me. I am first. You are to love me with your whole being, and you are to offer gifts and sacrifices to me in gratitude, with thanksgiving for what I freely gave to you through my Son. But first, your brother. And so it's not reconciliation that is of the first importance, but worship is of the first importance. But it must be from pure hearts, broken spirit, broken contrite. And so what are the sacrifices of God? God, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, are broken and contrite heart, and then baptism, then covering, then the Lord's Supper, then every other requirement that God has laid down. It says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let us be those that offer the sacrifices. God, time is gone. Let us pray. And Father,
We thank you for the great patience that you have with us. Lord, how ignorant and simple we are to think that going through rituals, however scriptural they are, that this could please you if our hearts are wrong. And then, Father, to think that if our hearts are right, we think that we can neglect the rituals. How simple, how foolish we are, how slow we are to learn. So let us understand, O God, that we are to be cleansed within and without, not like whited sepulchres, outwardly beautiful, but inwardly full of corruption, and not inwardly clean, but outwardly disobedient to thee. But let us be those who are able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us, by thy grace, Father, offer the sacrifices of God that are pleasing in your sight. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.